Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for June 22nd, 2015. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, Fast Track Trade Authority moves on to the Senate this week. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reports that the agricultural risk coverage county option is the overwhelming favorite among producers seeking crop insurance. And the folks from Earth Risk Technology in Chicago will look at agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's see how futures traded on this Monday afternoon. Here are the settlements. July hard red winter wheat settled at 512, up 8 3/4. September, 521, up 8. Soft July wheat settling 501 1/4, up 12 3/4. September, 506, up 13 1/2. July corn settling 360, up 6 3/4. September, 364 1/4, up 5 1/2. December, 373 1/2, up 4 3/4. July of 16, 398 1/2, up 5. July soybeans settling 989 1/2, up 18. September, 961, up 19. November, 959 1/4, up 19 1/2. July soybean meal, 330.60, settling up 10.50. July soybean oil settling 32.92, up 37 cents. Now some last trades. Lejeune live cattle, 152.60, up 70. August feeders are 226.12 1/2, up 2.70. And July lean hogs, 74.32 1/2, and they are down 142 1/2. And those are Monday's settlements and last trades from the Chicago Board of Trade.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Leonard's weather highlights, he says the two-week outlook remains favorable for most crops in the Midwest, although some areas in the lower Midwest would benefit from drier weather. Frequent rounds of showers and thunderstorms will occur through the middle of next week, and soil moisture should remain high in nearly all locations. Flooding should increase in parts of the lower Midwest and from portions of northeastern Iowa into Wisconsin, although the focus of the heaviest rain should shift often enough to prevent serious flooding in most locations. The weather pattern will become a little drier beginning July 2nd, but most areas will see rain July 4th through July 6th. A few pockets of dryness may evolve during the next 2 weeks, but those pockets should be small and not representative of the region as a whole. One of the driest areas will be in northeastern North Dakota and the northwestern corner of Minnesota. Delays to early soft wheat harvesting will continue in the lower Midwest during the next 2 weeks, and rain should fall frequently enough to raise concerns over wet weather diseases and crop quality declines. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Boy, the rally in soybeans, most impressive.
Yeah, it led by commodity funds. They bought over 9,000 contracts going into midday there and finished with some buying there on the close to finish at the upper end of the trading range there. Market's ability to move higher here and follow through buying after a couple hook reversals and taking out some shorter-term moving averages tripped by programs. Then, you know, two ideas fundamentally that we've got some concerns out there in the field as a nation that, you know, acres are going to be slow or if not get planted, and the overall conditions are going to deteriorate here if this moisture continues to materialize across the Midwest.
So has the bull shot all its fundamental news for the week? Or are we looking at backing and filling, or are we looking at something higher yet by weekend?
Well, beans, we're getting a little overbought. We're approaching some downtrend resistance, some retracement levels. So in order to keep the bull alive and through here, we're going to have to see something develop here overnight, maybe, you know, a big drop in the good day excellent category or something to give it reason to push a whole lot higher here. I think corn might have a little bit more up for it because it's kind of down at the lower end of the range. I think, you know, follow through this evening based on the conditions and then see if we get a little pullback here as we go into midweek. But it's the end of the month, end of the quarter, so these funds are going to be quite active to get to where they want to be for, say. The big market maker, of course, will be next week's reports, the stocks and acreage reports. Now sort of dictate the trend as we move in the first part of July.
Let's talk about each of those. First, let's talk about a decline in the soil conditions later this afternoon. Do you think we've already priced in 1% to 2% of that, so we need to see a bigger number?
2% to 3%. You know, if it's more than 3%, it's going to give us ammunition to move a little higher. You know, it's still early in the growing season, and they'll do their job to replace or reflect the conditions. The problem is they have to wear scuba gear to check out some of the crops in some areas there, Dave.
Or binoculars, take your pick.
But, yeah, it's devastating in some areas. Low ground's fairly well gone. There's no not going to be even a chance to replant that. So it's you know, we've taken the top end off. Things have changed. You know, a lot of the projections were, you know, if we have some favorable weather. Weather's not favorable. So, you know, these conditions are going to show some deterioration, and the supply-demand report's going to reflect this as we move down the road.
Do you think we might see a reduction eventually of 2 bushels to the acre or more in beans?
At this point, I would think so. I don't see more than 2 right now. The thing is, I believe we're going to see a higher acreage number. We believe the March report was too low on bean acres. So overall total bean acres, I think intentions, planting intentions, that is going to be higher. Where the balancing act comes in is harvested acres. And that's going to be the one we're going to trade here as we move through the growing season.
The other short-term factor just to see or not is tomorrow's potential strike in Argentina already factored into the marketplace?
Well, it's becoming non-eventful. You know, shipments out of the southern hemisphere are important because they got large stocks. And they need to get those stocks out of there and make room and you back that up. That's going to hang over the market. They're just not going to dump them on the ground or anything like that. You know, they got large inventories they need to get into the world market. So we'll see what develops there. We still have a few beans ready, but the main concern, though, and on bean world demand is the world is going to shift to our bean market here fairly quickly on new crops. It's going to be important to see these new crop sales start to pick up here as we go through the growing season.
Let's turn our attention then to corn, and let me ask you, with all the flooding, and you don't have to go very far to find some of that, can we begin to talk about the tops being taken off the yield on corn?
Well, it's going to be awful hard to get 170 bushel an acre now. Some had penciled in during the winter time frame, not expecting this weather forecast, but you can start taking 1 to 2 bushels off here fairly quickly. Denitrification, that's been a big topic, and just plain, flooded out, drowned out areas. So it's going to get, a little tighter as we move on through the growing season here. And when you start tinkering with that yield, you could tighten up that corn carryout to 1.4 fairly quickly.
What will it take for corn demand to pick up?
Well, demand is there. Demand is strong, per se. We've gone down to some lower levels. We've seen demand hang in there quite well. I mean, we're projected to see 13.7 billion bushel. That's 200 million bushel more than the previous year. And that's basically 300 million above the year before that. We don't want the market to scream sharply higher because that'll deter demand away. So, at these levels, I think demand's going to remain fairly strong here as we move along in through here.
I guess I'm thinking more of new crop.
Well, new crop, basically, we need to keep all the chickens alive. We need to make sure these livestock guys stay profitable. And I think the big demand in the future, and I'm talking 2019-20, is a domestic feed usage. I think that's going to be the critical area to watch. The export market, per se, is going to come and go, but at these lower levels here, I think exports may remain strong.
So the one thing that stuck out like a sore thumb today is hog futures. They were down significantly. Is this on ideas of what we might see at the end of the week in the hogs report?
Well, when you look at expansion, it really hasn't materialized, per se. It's been slow. When you look at the hog kill, we're 5-6% more, so we're seeing a lot of pork come in from somewhere, and there's going to be plenty of supply around. So I don't think the report's going to reflect a huge number. I believe it's a lot of the Canadian hogs coming across the border here over the last 6 months.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate tomorrow is expected to begin its consideration of trade promotion authority. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has already filed cloture on the House-passed bill, also known as Fast Track, and on a package of trade preferences that includes an amendment sought by Democrats that would provide assistance for workers displaced by foreign competition. Opposition to the trade bill is being led by Democrats. Senate Fast Track supporters would need to line up 60 votes to get around a procedural hurdle. McConnell is thought to need at least 11 Democratic votes. Mexico has filed a correction with the World Trade Organization regarding the amount of retaliation it is seeking to impose on the United States due to the U.S. country of origin labeling law. Its correction raised the total amount by about $60 million to a total of $713 million annually. Meanwhile, Canada has asked the WTO for permission to impose retaliatory tariffs of $2.52 billion worth of U.S. products. It is likely that WTO arbitration proceedings will not conclude until late August or early September. The House already has voted to repeal the COOL law, but the fate of a similar proposal in the Senate will not be known until later this month because of opposition to repeal is stronger in that chamber. Eurozone finance ministers broke off talks today without an agreement on Greece's bailout, saying they aim to reach a deal later this week that might keep the country from defaulting and falling out of the currency union. Greece needs more loans from its creditors, which include its fellow Eurozone states, as well as the International Monetary Fund, in time for June 30th, when it faces a debt repayment it cannot afford. The country has been negotiating for 4 months what economic reforms it should make to get that money. European Union leaders have a two-day summit starting Thursday, and hopes are a full agreement can be reached then. No details of the proposals were made public to support Greek banks in the face of growing money withdrawals. The European Central Bank today increased the amount of emergency credit it allows the banks to draw on. The U.S. Supreme Court says a program that lets the government take raisins away from farmers to help reduce supply and boost market prices is unconstitutional. The High Court ruled that forcing raisin growers to give up part of their annual crop without full payment is an illegal confiscation of private property. A federal appeals court said the program was acceptable because the farmers benefited from higher market prices and did not lose the entire value of their crop. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. University of Illinois economists say the most popular crop insurance option under the latest farm bill is the county option of agricultural risk coverage. Todd Gleason took up the issue with U of I Ag Extension economist Gary Schnicke.
The numbers are in, and overwhelmingly, maybe a little unexpectedly, farmers chose to use the ARC County. How did that happen?
Yeah, they did. And if you look at it, ARC County was used on 76% of program acres, PLC on 23%, and ARC IC less than 1%. So, but ARC County, probably what contributed most to its big numbers is that corn and soybean acres were overwhelmingly enrolled in it. So we had over 90% of the program acres enrolled in ARC County for corn and soybeans.
Yeah, it's important, I suppose, to remember that there are many different, 14 different program crops or thereabouts, so that corn and soybeans happen to be the largest two. And while you say 76% are in ARC County, the bulk of those, a lot of them, are through that corn and soybean.
Yeah, figure. So corn and soybeans, and most definitely, because corn and soybeans are large program crops or total number of acres and overwhelmingly enrolled in ARC County. Again, 90%, over 90% of corn and soybean acres are enrolled in ARC County.
The number is 97%, if I remember correctly, for soybeans. That's a large number. That one's not so unexpected. I think that was an easy decision from your perspective for farmers across the entirety of the nation to make.
Yeah, and corn was 94%, so it's not all that far behind soybeans. I would have was expecting more PLC for corn. I thought farmers would split the decision and put some of their acres or FSA farms in ARC County and some of them in PLC. They did not do that. I mean, to get 94% of the acres, farmers went in there and enrolled all their acres in ARC County.
What does it tell us, if anything, about what farmers like about those programs, what the ease of use might have been, how that decision was made? And I know it's simply stats, but there has to be something there that we can understand out of the program decision.
Yeah, you can say a couple things. One is that they sort of went along the same routes as they do with their crop insurance policies. Revenue policies are predominantly the over 90% of corn and soybeans are insured with revenue policies, and corn and the program choice was the same thing. So if you make a ARC County is a simple program to enroll in. It's a revenue program, and farmers were comfortable with that sort of program. You can also say that they didn't want SCO, because as soon as they enrolled in ARC County or ARC IC, they did not get SCO. So 94% of the corn acres, 97% of the soybean acres aren't in SCO or are not eligible for SCO.
Gary Schnitke is an ag economist at the University of Illinois. You may read more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Amy Sage of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Amy.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, with the rise that we've been seeing over the last several sessions in the soybean market, has that got the phones busy?
It does, yes. Most people looking for more upside in soybeans, which given the wet weather and the acreage that either hasn't been planted or possibly will be very late getting replanted, if at all, in some spots, don't necessarily disagree with that.
And probably also, given the fact that it's going to be hard to get weed out, double-planted soybeans might be a little hard to come by in some places.
Exactly. The tune has changed pretty dramatically here in the past couple of weeks now on soybeans, so which is great. I people were hoping for that, obviously, from a marketing perspective, not so great from a crop conditions perspective.
So what was the big marketing play in beans today?
A lot of people actually unpricing some positions or gaining some upside potential via call options.
Okay, and then let's turn our attention to corn, where it's a totally different circumstance. It has not rallied as strongly, as sharply as wheat, as soybeans have. And certainly at the end of the month, we're going to find out that a whole lot of corn is still in the hand of producers.
That is true. And in this area particularly, that's a combination of being on the farm or being at the elevator on DP storage or on a basis contract. So there still is plenty of old corn that will need to be sold, which will probably limit the upside potential in old crop. New crop, obviously, we haven't seen the gains that we have in beans either. Corn not being affected nearly as much by the extreme wet weather across the Midwest, nearly to the extent that beans have been. Obviously, it's taken a top end off of some yield potential in the areas who have gotten excessive amounts of rain. And forecast still doesn't look too great, but there still are states that look fantastic. It sounds like everybody who's reporting from Iowa, a majority of the state looks phenomenal. So there are some areas that do look really, really good. Douglas County looks really good, but there are areas that are hurting a little bit more. So not seeing a huge rally, but we've been creeping higher in corn.
Very quickly, your prices then.
Yes, cash corn 352, new crop 353. Cash soybeans, $9.94, new crop, $9.39, and cash Angeli wheat, both at $4.91.
Thank you much, Amy.
Thanks.
That's Amy Sage of the Andersons, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. It's National Chocolate Eclair Day. The eclair probably originated in France during the 19th century. The first English language recipe for the eclair appeared in the Boston Cooking School cookbook in 1884. On this day in agricultural history in 1633, Galileo was forced by the Inquisition in Rome to renounce his theory that the earth revolved around the sun. By the way, Galileo was the first to see the rings of Saturn, named after the Roman god of agriculture, but he never quite unlocked the idea that he was seeing rings. In 1792, James Nielsen was born, a Scottish inventor. He introduced the use of a hot air blast instead of cold air, for the smelting of iron. His process reduced the amount of coal needed and increased efficiency to satisfy the demands of the infant rail and shipbuilding industries. In 1932, Bernhard Bang died. A Danish veterinarian, he discovered the cause of contagious abortion in cattle. Bang was instrumental in showing that tuberculosis could be transmitted by cow's milk and in developing isolation techniques. And in 1940, Peter Koppen died, a German meteorologist and climatologist. He is best known for his mapping of the climatic regions of the world. His system remains useful because it demands easily obtained data, such as monthly mean temperatures and precipitation. And that's a look at this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether it's quickly approaching or many years away, Busey Wealth Management provides retirement solutions tailored to one's specific needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us now for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist John Davis from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, John.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
There's only one question that's dominating everybody's mind, at least if you're in the Corn Belt, and that is, are we going to see anything closer to a drier, warmer pattern anytime soon?
Not this week. So this week continues to be extremely active as we have numerous bands of thunderstorms that will be developing and then moving eastward across the Midwest. So this week continues to be very active, well above normal rainfall totals, and some of the excess moisture problems that we've seen up to this point certainly will get worse, and no relief in sight here for this week. As we look a little bit further out into the end of the month and early July, there are some signs at that point that we will begin to see comparatively drier conditions across the belt as the heavy band of rain, the most active zone, if you will, actually shifts southward into places like the Delta and the Southeast growing areas, and that leaves the Midwest into a drier pattern at that point. So no relief this week. But it does look like down the road at the end of June and early July, we will have a comparatively drier forecast here for the Midwest. But it's going to be after the next week, which features, you know, significant rainfall across areas of the Midwest.
This is about as wet a May and a June, at least in my neck of the woods, as I can remember.
Oh, no question. You know, certainly from a historic standpoint, across the heart of the Midwest, it's going to be one of the wettest periods historically, no question. No question.
So if we get this trend change, what will we see first to let us know that it's on the way?
Well, the reason that we've been in this pattern, and the pattern during the last couple of weeks has featured a zonal jet stream flow, meaning a due west to east jet stream flow. What we're going to do by the end of the month and early July is see a higher amplitude flow across the nation with more ridging in the western U.S., more troughing in the eastern U.S., and that higher amplitude flow is the key to getting the Midwest into a drier pattern as we head into the early portion of July.
A little bit of time left on a world stage. Any areas that you're keeping particular eye on?
Absolutely. Canada certainly is an area with their spring wheat and canola that needs to be watched very closely from this point on, with dryness and potential heat coming in there over the next couple of weeks. Europe is a spot to watch very closely as a strong ridge of high pressure begins to develop across the European continent over the next couple of weeks. So Europe and Canada are places to watch very closely over the next two or three weeks.
Thank you very much, John.
My pleasure, Dave.
John Davis of Earth Risk Technologies, and he is in Chicago, and that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to this again on our website, willag.org, and click on the closing market report tab. This is Dave Dickey.